What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 214 of Little Lessons. I'm back, baby, and Carter isn't, but Jay's always here.
Jay, I am the constant. It is me. I am the new Little Lessons sole host. For a while, it was Angelo. Now it's I.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we've had a.
This is my domain expansion. I'm taking over.
Look at me. I am the captain now. yeah, how have you been, buddy? Yeah, great job with the interview last week with Josh. That was amazing for you and Carter to take that over and lead that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it was great talking with Karibo. We met at Knoxville, and I wasn't able to have the amount of one-on-one time with him as I would have liked to. So it was nice to talk with him and just, you know, talk through his great run and everything, and especially his day one performance was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, day two is just a different world, a different atmosphere. So I don't really, you know, he managed to get a win in day two, which is a lot more than most people can say. So, you know, I'm really proud to, you know, see his improvement. I know when we were at Knoxville, I think he might have went 6-3, 5-4, just missed out on the day two, and, you know, he finally got around to it. So it was pretty cool, and playing Gouging Fire as well, so love talking about my goat.
Yeah, no, Gouging had a great weekend a couple weeks ago, and just in general, like, it was really great because he's been around, like, I think Carter looked at it, he joined, like, 4 days after I did, so, like, we've been in this atmosphere now for, over 4 years at this point, and in just the, when we would even do like the best of one ladder rumbles, or I've faced him a couple times in dojos. He was always a player when I started. I remember the first time I played him and he wiped the floor with me.
And yeah, he's a monster. He really is.
And it's one of those guys, I feel like he's like one of these, like, outside of this atmosphere and his local area, he's one of these players that I don't see a lot of other people talk about him. And for him to have this performance, to actually put his name in the map for this nation and for this area and say, hey, I'm a legitimate player, I'm going to day two. That was just, it felt really great to see someone that I've grown in this game, like, one of the players that I was like, I want to try to get to your level. And there's been times where I feel like I got close, but yet again, he takes it to another bar that makes me want to try even harder. That's the best part of this, is that we have these friends who inspire us.
And he's just the nicest guy in the world, too. Oh my God, he's just the coolest, nicest person ever. I know when we were in Knoxville, he was, you know, unfortunately with someone who was not as nice, but
settle down. <You're> doing that.
but Karibo,
no, he's a saint.
Karibo is a literal saint, and yeah, I love talking about roller coasters with him. Talking Mons is just a different, like, just talking through his processes and everything, and each of the matchups where he felt like he was thinking, and like the detailed notes that he had was awesome. I know when I came on the podcast to talk about my performance, I'm a non-note taker,
no.
So I was going off of vibes, and we didn't have like lab mouse or anything at the time, so I was like, yeah, you know, like Orthworm was good.
Yeah, I was when I was on for my run, I had notes, and there were some funny parts where, like, my match against Joe, where I showed Carter the page before, and he's like, it's relatively blank, and I'm like, yeah, that's all he needed to beat me. Like, here's my others. I took notes. This is all I had.
It's just like, there's just so many different, like, processes for all these different people, and, like, I mean, everyone achieve success in their own ways, and I don't know, it's just cool, like, being able to talk through the processes and everything. I mean, it was my first interview that I did. I know you were a little bit more around for some of the other ones. Yeah. You had your own. Carter and Carl obviously took the brunt of a, you know, many of them they talked with like Roller Coaster and just, and me and you, and of course the other players who can only imagine being at near our levels.
No, yeah, which, I mean, getting interviewed by Little Lessons, which there might be some more interviews from other players coming up once I get through the next week. But yeah, that is, if you like hearing interviews, you're in luck. That's something that could be coming more.
Keep your eyes and ears on the channel, baby.
Yeah. If you liked hearing interviews that didn't feature my voice, sucks.
Sucks to suck. Yep, you can go and watch the Karibo interview again, or you can go and watch the one with me where I get interviewed. So
that's it.
Yeah, don't worry about the other ones.
No, I mean Roller Coaster. I wasn't on that, but yeah. we aren't here, and also just to put this in perspective on how amazing of a person Karibo is, we just vamped for like a solid 10 minutes on the guy who had his run 2 weeks ago and was on the pod last week, and we're still talking about him. It's because of how awesome he is and how amazing of a pillar in our community he is. We are here though to talk about the biggest VGC event ever, EUIC, this past weekend, which hit 974 players.
Insane numbers.
So close to that top 512. And I had a friend, actually, if they 40 more people showed up, both Swede and my buddy Chase would have gotten points, and Chase would have gotten his invite at that 5-4. Also, shout out, before we get into it, you know, we'll save Swede for the end. We're not going to spoil his team early. But yeah, let's get into these teams and what the meta looks like.
Also, we should mention we finally got Worlds dates.
Oh, yes, that's... Yeah.
They decided to drop it like a massive reveal for whatever reason, not like people's, you know, vacation time is going towards this, and like it's a lot of money, and it's in an extremely inaccessible location with... Yep. Tons of geopolitical issues going on there. You know, let's roll out the red carpet and make a gigantic drop at the end of EUIC to really hold everyone's next to this. But I believe, if my head is remembering correctly,
it's August
16th to the 18th.
Yep. So you would probably want to get there at least the day before. It is one thing to note that they have gotten rid of the day one buffer, so everyone, like, the day one buy, so even if you are at the top of the points chart, you are still showing up for that day one as well. So, again, you said it already, but really, they didn't make any friends or good vibes. It was already... bad vibes with the location in terms of accessibility. Of course, last year being Japan, that was one of the most expensive Worlds locations to go to. And Hawaii is, I wouldn't say just as expensive, it's probably in the ballpark. And the fact that you announce it when they had that massive wildfire and were having issues, which is just happenstance. And then to go play the game of we're going to make a big deal of the Worlds reveal at the end of EUIC, just awful vibes.
And give them like, what is it like? I mean, I guess it's 4 months, just mm-hmm. about 3 months or so.
Yeah,
like, 4 months.
Pretty much, think, like you have if you're going to Worlds, book now, like
even right if, now.
Yeah,
get on
even
it.
Even if you don't have your invite yet, if you see a path where you have a shot at it, just do it. You'll have enough time. The season ends the first week of June. You'll have ample enough time, over 60 days, to cancel it if you don't get there. But yeah, book now. And there were a lot of people who got their Worlds invites this weekend, using some of these Pokemon that are in the top usage. Incineroar, of course, just eking out Fluttermane for number one, for that number one spot, Fluttermane in two. Raging Bolt all the way up to number three. What do you think about this this steady rise in Raging Bolt usage being one of the best Pokemon in the format ever since it's been introduced?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. There's just so many different sets that you can run for it, whether it be the Calm Mind set that's been a little bit on the rise as of late. But then you also have, like, the Assault Vest sets. Some have leftovers with the Calm Mind. Some have booster energy. Who would have thought that a Pokemon with stats that are comparable to that of Lunala, since we have Reggie and people have kind of started looking at that now, it is doing really well. It has the stats of restricted legendary, really amazing offensive and defensive typing, and has an amazing matchup into some of the strongest Pokemon in the format, such as Incineroar, such as the Ogerpon forms, Rillaboom, Urshifu Rapid Strike, so on and so forth. And it has priority special electric type Sucker Punch. Like,
yeah, it's that you can, you get that plus two, you get a couple Calm Minds up. I'm a manager in Dad's League, his little thing, and one of my players was like playing around with Raging Bolt, trying to figure out how to play it, and the way I explained it, specifically the comp, like, with it, if you go with the Assault Vest set, it's a chess piece, and it's an all-encompassing defensive, offensive chess piece that can switch into so many threats in this metagame, and also on the offensive side, threaten with the Dragon and Electric-type stab, and also provide utility with Snarl and Electroweb. And then there's the Calm Mind set, which is a win condition all on its own. If you get +2/+2 with this thing, and, like, the opposing Landorus had to either Terra out of its ground type, or you handle it early game, if you get a couple boosts on it mid to late game, it sits there and wins. And we kind of saw that with a few matchups this weekend. We saw a lot of balanced matchups featuring Raging Bolt, and a lot of the times it was the set was decided dependent on the Raging Bolt set, whether it had the leftovers, the booster energy, did you eat a parting shot too early, so on and so forth. It's honestly, it feels like this is the Pokemon that the entire metagame is based around.
Yeah, it really is that strong. It just has so many great tools and great options, and, like, the Calm Mindsets, they play, like, this annoying game with each other to where they Terra Fairy and then just click Calm Mind in front of each other over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then they can't touch each other because your only move that can touch it is Thunderclap.
Thunderclap.
And it's like...
And you're +6. you're +6. It's doing nothing. And then it gets into the speed ties because if one Thunderclap goes off first and the other one fails, it's a whole mess.
Yeah, it's very similar to, like, the Nasty Plot Golden Go stuff that we saw, but now it's improving its bulk. It runs a lot of the time with the Rillaboom in the same way with the leftovers, and it has priority, so it's like it doesn't care about speed tiers anymore.
No.
It just clicks the button and does crazy damage. And then when you think, oh, the Chien Pao is gonna Sucker Punch me, you just go, all right, I'm Terra Fairy, I'm gonna click Dragon Pulse instead, and just, you know, take this thing out one shot.
Yeah. The remainder of the top 12, like, I don't think there's really much to talk about. I think the only interesting thing with the rest of the top 12 is that we did see Frigoraph in day one usage. That's something that we did not see in Vancouver. And it just eked out Amoongus being a Pokemon that we see a lot usually in Europe, which is known, like, in general, the region is known for its balance players. Going and looking at day two usage, Raging Bolt moved up to second, Urshifu Rapid Strike moving into the top to three, Chien Pao and Lando Eye and Rillaboom rounding out the top six. Fluttermane falling all the way down to seventh from second. Amoongus hopping into the top 12. Heartflame Ogerpon overtaking the Wellspring Ogerpon for the first time in recent memory. A lot of times it's been like the Wellspring Mask. People have really recently been pushing the Heartflame. And then Goldengo hopping into the top 12. Other Pokemon like Tornadus dropping out. And then Frigoraph as well. Frigoraph all the way down in 26th for day 2 usage. I think the main thing to take out of this is that the top six Pokemon are the most popular team in the format, affectionately known as the Japanese Balance Team, which is an Incineroar, a Combine Raging Bolt, usually Scarf Urshifu, but they've been moving on that, Shenpao, Landorus, and the Rillaboom. People will joke, oh, the top six could be a team. The top six in this case literally are a team that we will be talking about.
Yeah, I know the Urshifu has moved a little bit more towards like Focus Sash, Mystic Water.
Yeah.
Coming back. It gives you just a lot more flexibility in what you're trying to do with it. If you're in those Ogre Pond matchups, you're not as stuck just clicking U-turn. You're not forced to switch out with your Fake Out plus Fluttermane leads. I think that's a really good adaptation from the Urshifu as well. That top six as a team is definitely really, really frightening altogether. Yeah. Really strong, has all the good modes of balance. It has priority, it has bulk, it has pivots, it has double fake out, and just great offensive options as well. So
I think one of the other real interesting, well, first, to add on to what you were saying with Urshifu, you have Protect now if you run the Sash or Mystic Water, and that Protect is going to really help you in front of Raging Bolt. It can only click the Thunderclap 8 times, and so if you can get a few Protects and good switches in, you can make the Raging Bolt burn out of those bullets to be able to threaten you super effectively that way. And the Raging Bolt itself, one of the big things with balance is that a lot of times, like a solid setup mode can put up enough pressure to break through the balance. Nasty Plot Goldango, getting that up to top, like +4, +6, is a very common example of just overwhelming you with so much damage that it doesn't even matter what you switch in, it's just going to die. Well, now these Combine Raging Bolts, these balance teams now have the built-in setup mode as well to kind of like help them in balance mirrors. The setup Raging Bolt is going to do better against the non-setup Raging Bolt. So that's just another layer with this team.
And speaking Amoongus, of the teams, let's Amoongus coming up too. Amoongus is crazy.
Yeah, Amoongus, and this is when we talk about some of the top teams, we are going to bring up Amoongus. Actually, we can just move to the teams and bring it up right now. Mm-hmm. Nils Dunlop, congratulations on stopping the tri-state area of the United States from going 3-for-3 at EUIC.
Messed up, man. Not cool.
Not but, cool at all.
If there was any team to do it, I'm kind of happy it was this one. This team is wild. From the Terra Flying P2 to the Ursaluna. And Nils just played this team to like absolute perfection this weekend. Especially in the finals match, it was like he was just playing a different game than Tim was truly. It was just a different level. Yeah.
I think the best way to describe the finals match is specifically in these balance mirrors. And I think for anyone who is planning on going to Orlando or Sao Paulo or the event in Australia, and I'm forgetting the city it's in, the remaining regulation F events, like majors, game knowledge and comfort and experience matter so much once we get to this balance format that we're in. Nils played like a player who has been a high-level player for 5-6 years. And as amazing, and Tim's run is unbelievable. Tim's first event was Hartford last year. And there's not enough practice in the world where you can make up 5 years worth of, honestly, like for Nils, it was just autopilot for him probably, because he just knows, okay, these are the four, here's where all my switches are in. He knew everything 3-4 turns in advance because he's done it before. And one of the jokes on Twitter was that Tim was doing better at EUIC than he has in a tri-state at a tri-state local. And Jay, you've been on stage on stream in day two. it's a different animal. And if you aren't ready for it, that experience, like, could butt you in the butt.
Yeah. I also played a player who's been around for a very long time, but, you know, they
just
couldn't,
wasn't ready for the worm.
They weren't ready for the worm, man. So maybe Tim should have been playing Orthworm this weekend instead, and maybe he would have won.
Yeah. But I think Nils's team combines two aspects that, like two other like main teams that I think are at this point the big three sort of teams that you're looking at. Like you have your Japan balance, and really just that Insin, Rillaboom, Urshifu, Fire, Water, Grass balance teams. Nils features the Porygon2, Amoongus, and Incineroar, which has been a common trio. Scott Iwafuchi used it on his team last week. Honestly, this is a trio that I really enjoy. I talked about how difficult it was to use last week. I've actually since revisited it, and it definitely is a team where once you do put that practice in and you get past those first few games with it, it's so good. Like, P2, Amoongus, Incin, the amount of damage that Porygon2 is able to put out, even with, like, the non-Terra Terra Blast, is, if you get that plus one from download, the Porygon2, like, is a damage dealer on its own. The Incineroar with Fake Out, with Flare Blitz and Knock Off does a lot, and this, honestly, the Sludge Bomb Amoongus is so fun.
It's really like, solid.
It really is.
And we saw this weekend just like the secondary effect of being able to pick up poisons on different Pokemon is actually really important, especially into Pokemon like the Calm Mind Raging Bolt, which we've been talking about so much.
Yeah,
we saw Alex Gomez's Raging Bolt really get shut down because it kept getting poisoned and a little bit of chip put into Woodhammer range and so on and so forth. I've always been an Amoongus believer. It's one of my favorite Pokemon in terms of VGC. Porygon2, on the other hand, I hate that Pokemon. It's one of the most annoying Pokemon in existence.
I did.
I used it on one of my draft league teams, and it was fantastic. But
and
like,
you still hate it?
I hate it because whenever I play it, it's like I can never remove it from the field.
Oh,
and it just,
against, yeah, it's miserable.
And it just sits there, and it sits there, and it sits there, and it sits there, and it just never dies. And even in this format, I know when we first started talking about the Incineroar, we were like, oh, it gets knockoff now. Porygon2 is not going to be that good anymore. It continues to, you know, have good results over and over again. And yeah. I don't fully understand the Terra Flying. I feel like it had to have been, oh, most P2 are Terra Poison, so I'm going to get them with the Terra Flying, and if they don't check their OTS, then they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I believe with the Terra Flying, you're probably getting a one-shot on the Urshifus, which is good.
Oh, and for Ogerpon, you changed the Terra Blast over.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, well, the Poison was hitting the Ogerpons anyways.
True.
But I think the other thing is, this is Europe, this is the land of Amoongus, and being able to have that, another move that isn't just Ice Beam into the Amoongus. Also, the most important thing is, it gives the Ursaluna a Pokemon to click Earthquake next to. The Ursaluna is another aspect of this team that I really like. Ursaluna plus Hisuian Ursaluna plus Trick Room Setter has been a big, like, it's been on the rise recently. We've been seeing it, at least in the Masters division, putting up better results than Blood Moon Ursaluna. I know locally, Aaron Trailer, who went and finished, had a really great finish in Vancouver with Ursaluna, also took it to a 6-3 and getting his Worlds invite this past weekend to EUIC. He's been terrorizing our locals in Boston with this thing for the last, like, 2 months.
With Ursaluna Crest, right? That's what he's been
using. So he went Ursaluna Crest, and I can understand going that path because, like, this you have the built-in Levitate, you aren't doubling down on these fighting-type weaknesses, but being able to go Terra Flying, and sure, you're committing your Terra in that sense, but you're getting a really, really great Terra Blast, and you're getting better offense from your Trick Room Setter, And also, so it's, you can bring the Porygon 2 and not the Ursaluna. And the P2 on its own is able to support itself. It can be its own Trick Room sweeper to an extent. It can position super well. It's a very active Pokemon, while the Cresselia is definitely on the more passive side. In a lot of games, if you're bringing it without the Ursaluna, it sometimes feels like you're playing a 3v4. So I think that's probably where Nils went with that thought process. And just in general, again, like, you could do Urshifu, Amoongus, Insign, P2, and just leave the Ursaluna at home. And that's a really, really powerful quartet that the P2, even if you aren't setting up Trick Room, you're threatening these Ice Beams, these Terror Blasts, staying on the field with longevity, with the Eviolite and the Recover. Like, you're able to do a lot with that.
Yeah, I really like this team a lot. I think, you know, Nils also just piloted it beautifully. Tim in the finals match just could not do damage to these Pokemon that stuck ever, felt like. You know, between Amoongus Regenerator, Porygon 2 Recover, Incineroar Parting Shots, and then just getting Ursaluna in at the right times, it was just really difficult to ever actually recover from that. And Porygon 2 is just truly one of the most annoying Pokemon to exist. I remember talk about how, when I actually did use it and how much it did well for me, it won a 2v1 against a Zamazenta and another a Zamazenta crowned and another Pokemon in the Sword and Shield era. It was nutty.
That's
what it actually pulled off. It was taking, disgusting. It was eating up close combats and managed to chip down the Zamazenta with Tri-Attacks. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, oh, I'd have no business winning this game that I won anyway.
Doesn't matter. Speaking of Tim, Tim used a very similar team to the Japanese balance team, with the lefties Combine Raging Bolt, Assault Vest Rillaboom, Insign, and he went with a Sash Urshifu. The two change-ups is that he had the Protect, Icy Wind, Taunt, Booster Speed, Fluttermane, that apparently doesn't exist.
Oh, shut up.
I love shut you, up. I love you so much.
You can't even talk trash because it didn't win, so...
It didn't, no, that's the thing, I'm just bringing it up, and it was absolutely awful in the final set.
Yeah,
like, I said, I'm like, oh, look, it's in the finals, and Carl just looked like the side eye, and he's like, talk to me in 20 minutes when you're done watching this set.
Yeah, especially when, on the other hand, the Moonblast Dazzling Gleam, Moonblast Shadow Ball Substitute Protect won, so.
That won, so yeah, so, you know, screw me. And the Ogerpon Heartflame, so this is our first Ogerpon. And this is definitely, like, the Heartflame Ogerpon is really, really powerful. Getting the plus one on Terra, and then what's nice is once you switch in the embody aspect is active and you switch it in, it pretty much turns itself into, like, you know, a slightly more balancedization due to, like, the typing and stats. And, yeah. Like, the Heartflame Ogerpon itself was Tim's main damage dealer, specifically going into Nils's team, and he just never got a chance to get it going, whether it was it got fake out parting shot spammed. I feel like Nils always had a fake out ready to go to stop the Heartflame Ogerpon, and then against the rest of his team, like, the other Pokemon really just couldn't match up. But in general, this is a very, very powerful team. One thing to note, specifically with the Insign, is that it's not carrying... It's a Will-O-Wisp Insign with knockoff instead of the Flare Blitz. So that is something that is... I really haven't seen a lot of. I've seen Will-O-Wisp with Flare Blitz, but I haven't seen people drop the fire coverage.
Yeah, I think it does make at least a little bit of sense here, just because you can't hit, like, the Raging Bolt in its original typing with the Flare Blitz, and you know, it doesn't do incredibly well into, like, Ogerpon Hearthflame or any of the Ogerpon forms after Terra. And getting rid of that item is obviously a really important thing, especially for a team like this, where if you're going up against, like, lefties Raging Bolt, or you're going up against Assault Vest Rillaboom, or you know, Citrus Berry Incineroar. Getting that knockoff off is really is really consequential. Yeah. I do think that Flare Blitz is like probably more consistent, just because you have some other, like, I guess you don't have a ton of good answers into Raging Bolt and its original typing on this team. Yeah, it's like just the Stopping Tantrum and the Moonblast, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, and the Moonblast is something where, if your Floatamink's coming in and it already got a Calm Mind or two up, it might be you might have to two hit or three hit KO it, and you're going to eat a Thunderclap or two as well in the process.
Yeah,
and that's going to really hurt you in that sense. I will say, so at least for the start of game one, the Taunt Fluttermane was able to play a part in being able to threaten that early taunt, stop a potential Trick Room of going up. Maybe that was Nils's initial plan. He did bring the Trick Room package in game one, something he didn't bring in game two. And the Fluttermane was there for that, but at least in that finals matchup, it didn't provide much else. And I don't think Tim did a good enough job protecting it, because he kind of, like, it, having that Moonblast really would have been useful damage output wise, because it got to a point where he didn't have anything that, like, Tim didn't have anything that could, like, take out the opposing Amoongus or the opposing Incineroar or even do much damage into the Ursaluna. And I think that's where the team faltered in that sense. I'd say for the mirror match, the Ogre Pond Heart, like in that balanced mirror match, the Ogre Heart Pond Heart Flame is great because you're able to get the plus one with the embody aspect. The plus one Stomping Tantrums, definitely two hit KOing Raging Bolt. You're able to, again, it's the ability to put out a lot of damage and make it so that it doesn't matter what your opponent's switching in, you're always going to have that that burst damage output there. It's just that he didn't position it well enough in the finals match, but went on an absolute heater to get to where he was. He did play a balanced mirror in the finals, not the finals, semifinals, skipping over our third place team, going to Alex Gomez, who four of the six Pokemon are the same. Alex going for a clear Amulet, Terrifier Champow, and the Nasty Plot Make It Rain Goldango, along with a Booster Energy Raging Bolt as his little differences to this balance thing. And to bring back what you said earlier, I think it was day two Swiss, Alex's Raging Bolt got poisoned and it didn't have the recovery option, and it just was willed down enough where it didn't matter how many Calm Minds you had. Poison's taking away the same amount of HP every time.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the leftovers on the Pokemon either, so it just was really, all the recovery was coming from the Grassy Surge from Rillaboom. You know, this team is really cool. It's definitely pretty standard. I know I was, I think it was his top eight match where that happened. And he actually ended up pulling out the win in the top eight, but I was like kicking my butt so hard, because if the player he was playing against, I don't remember who it was, if they clicked Moonblast plus Stomping Tantrum into the Urshifu Rapid Strike with their Ogre Pond and Fluttermane, they just win the set. They win the game.
Yeah, it was Aurelion who finished in eighth.
Yeah, but I don't think they played Alex in that match. I think he played
it might have been like round.
It was Luca.
It was Luca. Yep.
Yeah, because he was the only other Amoongus. And I was like, oh my gosh, all you have to do is click Stomping Tantrum with your Ogre Pod and Moonblast with your Fluttermane into the Urshifu, and you cover everything. You cover everything on that one turn and you win. and then they just clicked like Moonblast and switched or so, or Moonblast or Ivy Cudgel or Woodhammer and something else into the other Pokemon, and they lost lost their Ogerpon right then and there. I was like, oh no, come on. But yeah, you know, Alex is a great player. They're very you know, someone who's been around the block for quite some time. 0-2 record on ladder against me though, so get your money up, not your funny up.
Yep. get but, on our level.
But just a great run overall with, you know, the standard kind of balancey team here with some, you know, pretty unique tweaks.
The Clear Amulet Shen Pao is with the Terra Fire. I think that's definitely the most interesting aspect of the team. Not being, because while Shen Pao with this, like, you can use your Sacred Sword into the Incineroars to really hit them hard, but you're able to mitigate damage via Parting Shot and Intimidate. So, like, the Mon can be Intimidate cycled. Clear Amulet just stops that, and you just play the game of, well, I don't have the safety net of the Sash, I'm still fast enough and hit hard enough where I can put out the damage, and that keeping my damage output solid, like set, and like that's not going to be changing, is more important than me living a hit and then getting Intimidate, Parting Shot into Intimidate and going -3 and I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that this Qian Pao does really well is it kind of disincentivizes them bringing their own Incineroar for, you know, a big portion, because in reality the Incineroar is only going to be intimidating down the Rillaboom realistically.
Yeah.
Because you can do Surging Strikes, which Alex actually pulled out one of the craziest plays I've seen in a while. He was expecting a double protect, and he Parting Shot into his own Incineroar to, you know, cycle out his own Incineroar. I mean, into his Urshifu to cycle out his own Incineroar, which is just epic. It was such a cool play.
Yeah, but he did that to bring the Rillaboom and keep the Fake Out pressure alive.
Yep. And like, not having, you know, seeing that Incineroar on the other team, which is all around, and having to be like, do you know what, like, this might not be that crucial of a player in this game, really opens up the Golden Go to do well, and the Raging Bolt specifically. So I mean, I think that it's a cool, you know, aspect to the team here. Although I do think that the Focus Sash probably more consistent overall, you know, just allowing you to survive that hit and keeping your Sword of Ruin active is really key. But the defensive Terra type should definitely help quite a bit.
Yeah. We are going to, like, briefly talk about some other teams, like, but they're teams that we talked about in general. Georgian Ragemakers, I believe, is it Rage... They said, was it Ragemakers or Rainmakers?
Like Raymakers, I think is Raymakers is probably how you say it.
Yes. So he ran the Iwafuchi 6, the Roaring Moon, P2, Goldengo, Lando, Incineroar, Amoongus, that Incin P2 Amoongus trio that I'm telling you now, if you're going to Orlando, you are going to see this a lot. I know multiple people from, like, multiple, like, friend groups I have within the game have told me that it was a team that they were at least looking into bringing themselves, all independently of each other. Personally, I've been playing this as well for the last week. And again, this six is so good. Once you get past the first, you're going to suck with this team for about like 2-3 sets. Keep with it. Because once you figure out the play patterns and you figure out the lines, this is such a rewarding team for people who put the time and put the skill in with it. And it's why someone like Scott, who was pretty much playing solely P2, Incin, Amoongus, all format, was able to get top 4 at Vancouver with it, because he just knew it better. But we're not going to dive into it more because it's relatively the same exact six and most of the same sets. I would like to just skip to sixth place because we have a very, very interesting Pokemon that we really don't see a lot of in VGC, and that is Okidogi on a balanced team, along with Hisui Arcanine, the Regulation E favorite.
Yeah, Okidogi has a honestly a really interesting spot in this meta right now, just being able to use that upper hand to counter Pokemon like Rillaboom, like Incineroar, like King Gambit specifically, you know, which are all, I know King Gambit didn't really have a big performance this weekend and has been a little bit on the down slope recently, which I think is criminal. That Pokemon is absolutely broken. You know, Okidogi has good matchups into all of them. Gungshot gives it good matchups into all the grass types and fairy types as well. Drain Punch for sustain and the knockoff to kind of use, you know, to knock items off with an intimidate immunity and a boost from it to boot. This Pokemon's really cool.
No, Okidogi is it is a really cool Pokemon. The one thing with Guardog is that you will get stat drops from anything that isn't Intimidate. It only activates on the Intimidate ability. But with that being said, there's Insin was the top Pokemon for both days. You're going to see it a lot. Honestly, once we move to Regulation G, when we start talking about that, I think you're probably going to see Insin even more. Talking about Umbreon Theorem Pokemons, that's I don't even know what to call it. It's already good Pokemon gets even better. And
the Incineroar Theorem, we'll just call it that.
Yes, the Incineroar Theorem.
Because Incineroar just defies all logic at all times. Yeah.
Other notes is that Diego did not use Incineroar. He used Hisuian Arcanine, the very common choice band set, to honestly great success. It provides a ton of damage output. To go with, while this is a balanced team in concept and in build, it is also very, very offensive between the Miracle Seed Rillaboom, Landorus, Stellar Terra Chimpao, and the Hisuian Arcanine. There's a lot of immediate damage up front that is able to potentially overwhelm other balanced teams or setup teams that really can't handle it, while being also able to switch in to cover its weaknesses. So it's always, I love Hisuian Arcanine. I think it's a super cool Pokemon. It's a super cool design. And I love that it still is getting some love, even in the era of Incineroar.
Yeah, it just has so much damage output, especially when you pair it next to the Chimpao. Moves like Head Smash, Flare Blitz, Rock Slide, they all just do crazy damage and then have some really wild secondary effects too at times, especially Flare Blitz and Rock Slide. We saw Diego nearly pull out a win because of multiple Rock Slide flinches in I believe top 8. But, you know, it does miss out on the support and the improved typing that the Incineroar has. But yeah, this team is awesome. I think the other four are pretty standard here. I think Terra Stellar has been something that we've seen pop up a little bit more this weekend on these Focus Sash Pokemon, like Sash Fluttermane, Sash Chimpao, specifically. And, you know, they really are very good examples of when the Stellar, Terra type can be really solid.
Had a lot of experience using this Stellar. I've had more experience in the last week using the Stellar Terra type than I have in the entirety of its existence, and that is because I'm turtle pilled. That when we finally get to like our Reg G ranking, I'm probably going to do an apology to the turtle itself for us saying, yeah, this probably isn't good. Very wrong, but we aren't there yet. We're here. And moving on, I think the last team in the top 8 that is going to be super interesting to cover is
Davide.
took the words right out of my mouth. This is an update on the Gouging Fire team. The another team that you should keep an eye out for, or at least an archetype, if you're going to remaining Regulation F major, is the Gouging Fire Solo Dozo Tingles trio. Solo Dozo and Tingles do... You have the Yawn, Sand Tomb, Ruination, Trapping, Damage Whittling. You can really like break down the front row Pokemon that your opponent brings with these two. And they work great with the Gouging Fire because Gouging Fire can give it the Howl boost. And then you have the classic Chien Knight in the background.
Not really classic. This one's loaded dice, my friend.
I was about to get there. Okay. If I sent you this set here, what would your response be?
I'd probably say, like, get out of the kitchen or something, but it was great.
It was so good.
It was really good.
How has no one else thought of this before?
I was truly surprised, but, like, Scale Shock gives you a speed boost.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now your Dragonite is Howl boosted next to Qian Pao with a speed boost. And it can switch its moves.
That breaks Sash.
It can switch its moves now, too.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
One of the biggest issues of Dragonite is that you're either going with Dragon Claw, which is just awful damage output, or you're going with Outrage, where you can't pick who you're clicking into, and the second you click Outrage, you can't switch. I've never thought of Scale Shot Loaded Dice Dragonite in my wildest dreams.
Davide's cooking here.
Davide, truly,
like you said, Outrage, very, very inconsistent. You know, I'll say it 100 times. Sorry, Chuppa, that your Outrage is kept hitting into Fluttermane or Protects. Like, now you have control with benefit to it. And, you know, this exact six, I believe the Golden Go was different and the Dragonite was choice banned, came in second place at the seniors as well at the EUIC. And if it wasn't for Ting Lu just missing all of its Sand Tombs just about in Game 3, it probably would have won.
And I think that is the one thing, even the Scale Shot, so unless I am incorrect, I wasn't making that up, because I do remember that. There was a match, I believe it wasn't his Top Cut match, where it was a Day 2 Swiss match, where Davide was on stream, and there was a Scale Shot that did miss. And so one of the things using this team where you have the Ruination, the Sand Tomb, the Scale Shot, Icicle Crash, you are playing a lot of moves that can miss. And that means that you are adding some variation, like variety, some risk into the team. And if you aren't someone who does well with that, maybe this might not be... the team for you, but if you like rolling them dice, this is honestly a great team to go with. I feel like maybe I'm not sure what Dragonite's place is going to be moving into the restricted meta, if it's going to be something that we see a lot or not. But for at least for the remainder of Regulation F, I wouldn't be shocked if we see a little more of this Dragonite just because of the uniqueness. And the fact it gives you the damage, it gives you the speed control, and it gives you the optionality.
I do think that Scale Shot Loaded Dice specifically has actually some really good stocks going up into Reg G. There's some really strong restricted dragon types who wouldn't mind to run this, i.e. like Kyurem Black and Zekrom. Both could be like loaded dice, icicle spear, scale shot, dragon dance Pokemon. So,
all right, you know, Kyurem Black is definitely, but like at the same time, we've seen the scale shot stuff. Like, Kyurem Black is just fancier Baxcalibur.
Yeah.
In that sense, but like you don't need to waste a turn to swords dance to get the damage up. You're
yeah, it has like what, like 155 attack or something, like
it's, but it's obnoxious actually.
This team
you were off. It was 170. A cool 170.
Cool 170. Crisp 170.
No, just
count. My lord. I thought I knew it's high, but I thought 155 was like maybe slightly underselling it. That's ridiculous.
It is.
This team is really cool. I think I love solo Dozo plus Ting Lu. I think that core is really awesome.
You talk about like P2 being your nightmare. That's my nightmare.
It is Haikyuu nightmare.
It's so annoying.
And then you put Gouging Fire with Chien Knight spam and Specs Goldie on it, and it's like, all right, like you have your bulk, you have your damage addition. And then you just have like pure hyper offense.
Yeah, and then throw in priority, trapping, status. Like this team, it's a very offensive team, but it has it has so many tools in its toolbox. And then you just go into the natural bulk of all of these Pokemon besides like the Chimpao, which your Sash, you don't care about bulk on it. All of these Pokemon are taking hits. And it's just a great adaptation to this Gouging Fire Howl team that we've seen do so well in the regulation, and so late in the regulation we're seeing it evolve to another team. Moving on a little more, talking about some of the teams trends that we've noticed outside of the top eight. And one is just outside of that top eight. We have two Arcaluna Rain teams. And we'll just throw one of them up. We'll throw up Alberto Gomez's team. As we just talked about this archetype and like where Rain is at. Because this was something that got off to a really hot start at the beginning of the format. Died down. And now at EUIC, we're seeing... what is it? Two? Three of them? Three Arcaludon Pelipper teams made top 16. So, what are your thoughts on this six or in the archetype as a whole?
I think Archaludon as a whole is, like, a strong Pokemon. But at the end of the day, you have to use Pelipper. And that's not, like, super ideal. To be fair, especially in a format with like Raging Bolt at number three. I think that these teams are pretty good, but like, I know when I play them, I always just like take out the Pelipper and then move on. Like,
yeah, I think the interesting text with this, you see the Stellar Terra Pelipper. To do, and actually you can get, depending on if you're facing another weather team, maybe this is something to look at more for Regulation G when there's going to be more weather around. The Stellar Terra Weather Ball, if I'm not mistaken, if you change the weather, it's technically a different type, and you'll get that an extra stellar boost to it if there is a weather change.
Isn't it once per move, though?
I thought it was once per type.
Maybe.
We can test that later and let you folks know. But yeah, like having that Stellar Terra there, the Pelipper, where if you're forced to Terra it to get that boost on the Weather Ball or the Hurricane, that's great. Since you're running dedicated Rain, you can actually put Sandseer Storm on Landorus, which is, in the grand scheme of things, its best attack. And to be able to consistently click its best attack is kind of important.
Yeah, I do personally think that these teams are probably better with Tornadus.
Probably. But, you know, Funny Bird.
A Funny Bird is funny. And, like, you do get Wide Guard, which is fantastic.
And that's another move that's only going to get more important
come May 1st. I just... I don't know what it is with these teams for me. Like, I struggled originally with, you know, beating Archaladon teams. But then as time went on, I kind of stopped struggling with them as much. I don't know. It's, like, I think Arch is a great Pokemon. I think Lando, Urshifu, Incineroar, Moongus are all great Pokemon. I think that it's just... I do kind of low-key think that it is that you have to bring the Pelipper in order to get your Archaladon going in the way that it wants to. And even still, like, with that Electro Shot, it doesn't do a ton of damage right away. It takes normally one or two to, like, really start, you know, putting stuff out. And, like, if you don't give them the stamina boosts, it's not necessarily too difficult to, like, take it out, as long as you, like, conserve your good special attackers and, you know, don't give it, like, the defense boost that it's looking for. I think the Amoongus mode here makes it tougher, because you can just kind of bypass the rain mode altogether, and just say, okay, I'm going to click Rage Powder plus Electro Shot, or I'm going to click Rage Powder plus my Urshifu or my Landorus, for example.
And you can also...
Pollen Puff to heal.
Yep, Pollen Puff, sit there. At some point, you got to hit me, and that you're going to power up the body press. So, it's... I know, again, like, looking at some Red G teams, the Kyogre Archaludon has been... It's not been amazing, but it's it's made its presence known. And I think it's just a Pokemon that we might start seeing more of. And I do find it interesting that we did see three of them finish top 16.
I don't believe in this Pokemon in Reg G, just to be honest, no.
Okay.
There's too many Pokemon that it hates. There's tons of great fighting types. There's tons of great ground types.
People are playing Mien Shao, which is...
People are playing Mien Shao. Also, this thing does not like taking Astral Barrage. Not one bit.
What does, like... Terapagos likes taking an Astral Barrage.
Yeah, even King Gambit doesn't like taking Astral Barrage, to be fair.
Nothing, unless you are immune, nothing likes Astral Barrage.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know, and I know I kind of, we talked about it in the Reg G, like, preview podcast. I don't think Kyogre is going to be that great in this format.
I agree. I think it's, in playing it, I've never been afraid of the Mon. And I think it doesn't have, like, the amazing results. So moving on to, I'd say, like, the next interesting team to talk about, we have a couple more. The first, this is 25th place, Timo Mankinen. Since Carter is not around to do the "wow, this seems freaking weird" thing, I just did that.
Wow, this team is freaking weird.
Yeah, do you see? Like, I don't.
I like this team, though. I love Galarian Moltres, and I think Grimmsnarl is very interesting. Specs Moltres here is very unique.
Specs Terra Dark Galarian Moltres with U-Turn. We have the Bronzong, the Cornerstone Ogerpon, another Okidogi that went in Day 2, and the Akaberry Amoongus. For me, it's just like, initially when I saw the six Pokemon together, I was like, okay, this is different. There's not, like, this is definitely a, I like these Pokemon, I know exactly what I'm doing with them. Set up the screens, get the bulky Moltres and the bulky Okidogi out there. And then you look at the paste, and it's even weirder than you think it's going to be. This is a team where, outside of Amoongus, I wouldn't be shocked if all of these Pokemon have, like, 1% usage or less.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at the pace, like, I don't think that there's anything necessarily, like, weird about any of these Pokemon here. Like, they all kind of make sense.
It makes sense, but besides the Moltres is the one that I'm like, wow.
The Moltres is very unique with the Terra Dark specs. But, like, you have to think, like, you want to be spamming Fiery Wrath as much as you can. So, like, it kind of makes sense here, you know?
I think it's, I'm still, with Moltres, I'm still in the Gen 8 thought process of, oh, I'm just going to Dynamax and click Airstream a couple times. And after
with weakness
Dynamax,
policy.
Yeah, I have my weakness policy with Comfy.
I'm a big Cornerstone fan, as you all probably know.
Yeah.
I think that it's, you know,
UDL champion.
UDL champ Cornerstone over here. You know, it makes sense on, like, this team. You're going to get your Trick Room up. You use your Follow Me with Bronzong. I love Iron Defense Body Pressers as well. Bronzong is here to do that. Terra Dragon Okidogi, I think, is maybe the, like, weirder option over here because it doesn't necessarily help you too much against like Fluttermane or anything.
No, it doesn't. Honestly, and it doesn't help you against like it doesn't help against the Fluttermane, the Raging Bolt. In general, like Dragon is a good defensive typing. It's good to be a Dragon type. As you can see, one of the best Pokemon in the format is a Dragon type. But getting choosing to go Dragon, I think it's just against those water, fire, grass cores on the Japanese balance or Japanese balance esque teams, it's probably for that. If you take out the if you're able to take out the Fluttermane if they run Fluttermane, or the Raging Bolt if they run Raging Bolt, that late game Okidogi with the Drain Punch and the Terror Dragon is probably a really really big threat into those teams. At least that's what I would guess Timu's thought process was with it.
Yeah. There's like quite a few Okidogi in the day twos, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Okidogi did relatively well, which, you know, I think...
Renzo Navarro had him.
In total, I can actually just get the total number.
Pheasantipity also came in 76 with Flavia Delpadio. We actually saw that on stream for the first round.
Which is disappointing because, like, he lost and then he went and I think won, like, the next, like, four or five sets straight.
Yeah, and then day two'd with it, which is awesome.
Yeah, Okidogi was 24th in usage on day two with
beat out Farig.
Yeah, beat out Farig, which was top 12 day one. So, yeah, Okidogi, this is something, again, maybe it's... a Pokemon that'll pop up in that'll pop up at Orlando or Australia or Sao Paulo. Want me to tell you one Pokemon that I'm kind of confident isn't going to pop up?
Furret.
This is the we have to end on this.
How am I reading your mind like this, dude?
because we've been podcasting together for 8 months. And at this point, like, what was it? Like, we just know.
We just have a supernatural connection over here.
Yeah, this is called knowing your co-hosts. Like, I mean, if there was a Pikachu here, of course Carter would be on it. But yeah, like, we have to do this for Swede. William Maison, Swede, our lovely mod, on Tuesday, sends into the general chat and literate lessons in our Discord server. I'm down to Furret and a couple other teams. And I take the bait and I DM him, what are the other options? And his response
there
is...
There are no other options.
There are none. I'm bringing Furret.
Yeah, he's been playing Furret for like months now. It's
2 months.
Like,
and actually, I think it's been close to this exact 6 for the last 2 months. Rounding the Pokemon who are... being carried by Furret, you have the Dragon Dance Roaring Ma'uwoon, the Misty Terrain Specs Fluttermane, Magma Storm Subs Lefty's Heatran, Sunny Day Torn with Rocky Helmet, and I didn't even notice that he's running Taunt Wellspring.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
He is a madman. This is a balancing team with a Tailwind mode. The Furret honestly does a lot of great stuff supporting the team. Super Fang is able to whittle down damage, make the Magma Storm chip even more impactful, set up easy KOs for your Ogerpon, your Fluttermane, and your Roaring Moon. Helping Hand is what, like, Helping Hand's plus Magma Storm, Helping Hand, anything is going to do a lot of damage. Follow Me for redirection support with the safety goggles, and then, of course, Protect. Like, this Pokemon is doing things.
No, it's not doing anything that something like, I don't know, like Mousehold couldn't do, and probably a little bit better. But like, Ferret is funny, and so why not?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, this is a situation of, you know, knowing your favorites and winning with your favorites.
For the meme, baby. Do it for the clicks.
And the thing is, when you look, I'm going to pull this up right now. Sweet's schedule was
not easy.
It was one of the toughest schedules I've seen. So he did have a rough start to the day going 0-2. But then going on, you have a win against Billov.
Who owns every VGC Twitter account now, by the way. have you not seen this?
No, I have not.
Every single popular VGC Twitter like player who's on Twitter has a picture with Billa, and it says this is my Twitter account now.
Well, you know,
there was a post where it was like the usage stats, and it was all just the different pictures of Billa, and it was just like,
well, we're popular enough. Yeah, going with that, Jonathan Zuniga, John Zhu, who is an up-and-coming player, qualified for Worlds last year. He's in that whole, like, community. Like, he's close with Nino, with Tom Hayden. I met John Zhu last year. He was an AIC opponent of mine. Just unbelievably nice person, and just a great, not only is he just a great person, a very, very skilled competitor. And so to get a win against John Zhu and Billa is absolutely crazy. So yeah, Sweet got to 5-2 and then had to face James back. And
yeah,
you know, Cinderella story over.
Matchup there. Not a fun matchup to play against.
In general, like, even at, like he's Sweet, he was only 30 points, like 30 spots off of getting points at a 5-4 record with this team. And like, you could put, like, as it's first, if you want to play with your favorites, because I know people, especially in VGC, you always want to use your favorite Pokemon. You know, when in a lot of these cases, Swede was at least able to go, and with this pace here, he was able to say, this is, I want to use this Pokemon, this is what it does, and by doing these things, it can support these other Pokemon, and I can make a cohesive team of six where, while it might not be the optimal Pokemon choice, everything makes sense. He wasn't brute forcing the Ferret in here. Like, it plays its role on this team. And to be able to do that with a Pokemon like Ferret is, and then go 5-4 with that schedule, I think it's honestly impressive, and bravo to you, Swede. Beautiful.
Very well
man.
Done. Leave it to Swede to just make the most off the wall unhinged ideas and make them work, such as like Leer Dusclops. I know that's a literary lessons lore moment right there.
Yeah.
So
Leer Dusclops, he got me with Tickle Whimsicott while I was testing for Secaucus.
Tickle Whims is
that's great. And like in the back of my head, I was making the play, and I'm like, he has Tickle Whims, and that's the one thing that ruins this play. And I'm trying to like get the habits, and if he has Tickle Whims, I can at least say not a single person I'm going to play is going to have it. And of course he has it, and
has Tickle Tactics.
I got. I was able to win the set, but I lost the war because I got on that.
Yeah.
Any other teams you pulled up and wanted to talk about?
No, this was the last one I was interested in talking about, honestly.
Yeah, best for last.
Literally, it's what we did last week. Special teams, special plays, special players.
Exactly.
And that is Swede and Karibo from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. All love for Little Root.
Yeah, Little Root's been popping off recently. So make sure whoever from the community is going to Orlando next week, and whatever else is following that, make sure you guys do well so we can talk about you too.
Yeah. We love just gassing up our friends. Nothing is better than telling everyone that your friends are more talented than their friends.
we are top hype men over here. Okay,
absolutely. that's really what our job is. Okay. With that being said, this is a late one for us. So, Jay, take us out of here so we can go to sleep. Yeah.
Thank you all so much for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, all that fun YouTube stuff. Tell us how you would use Ferret in the next regional. Make sure you come join the community Discord and come hang out with us. Go tell Swede that maybe he should be using Mousehold instead because it gets friend guard. Make sure you check out the Patreon and the Discord supporters links as well. Follow us over on Twitter at LRLessons. And shout out to Papa Swish and Johnny Bravo Sr. for your support on Patreon, and Smeargle for your support over on Discord. With that has been the episode, and I'll see you all later, brothers.